Slept the whole time. It's just amazing. So jealous. Well, guys, we are in our fifth and final week of a series called In the Meantime. And, of course, I think, the video was just perfect for In the Meantime. What do you do in life when there's nothing you can do? We'll recap real quickly. But I want to speak also, if you're here this morning, you're a follower of Jesus, and you're like, you know, life's pretty good right now. And something that came to my mind this morning was really this whole life is the meantime, isn't it? This world is broken. It is fallen. It's a mess. And if you're like, I'm saved and my life's pretty good right now, I want to encourage you that you should live life abundantly and full of joy, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But we as Christians should really kind of live with a broken heart, shouldn't we? Because we are around people all day long who don't know Jesus. We are around marriages that are broken and families and sickness and disease and financial troubles and struggles. And really, the majority of people we run into in our world don't know Jesus, and as of right now are on their way to an eternity separated in hell, right? And so therefore, this in the meantime and the struggle of this life should be on all of our hearts all the time as believers. But for some of you this morning, it's just the life is happening, you're going through things. And I want to recap our first 4 weeks real quick, that sometimes life and health and family and finances and depression and these things happen. And sometimes it's from choices we've made, right? I've been through a lot of in the meantime moments and seasons of my life out of my own doing. And sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it's really just life. But if you're there today, I want to let you know it's okay if you're sitting there thinking, Pastor, if you only knew what I was going through and how life is for me right now, you wouldn't want to tell me that it's going to be okay and God has a plan and it's all right, because you can't see anything else. Our scripture today talks about your troubles in life, they just weigh us down and weigh on us. But I want to promise you, we've talked about God is not absent or apathetic or angry with you. He is not. God loves you. He has a purpose and a plan. Remember, Jesus said that His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And you and I learning to rely on Him is one of the most important things in this life that we can learn. Don't buy the lie that nothing good comes from the troubles you go through in life. The Bible tells us, and we've talked about, to count these things joy. You learn to trust in God. You learn to praise Him through it. And as He brings you through these seasons, you learn to give Him glory with your life. And in these in the meantime moments can be great, because what? God has our attention. And it's a great thing for God to have our attention. Don't get so comfortable in life that you feel like you don't need to rely completely on the Lord. If life is good right now, two things. Number one, remember the Bible says don't be deceived. Every good thing comes from God. And number two is, again, you, if you don't have this, you pray for this heart before you leave. This world ought to break your heart. The way this world is, and I'm not even talking about current events of this week, those included, of course. This world, I have never seen in my life, 40 years, in the last few years and recently, people are shorter, they're angrier, they're more impatient, they're more sensitive and get offended easily. And that's because our world has turned its back and thinks that they don't need the Lord. And that's where we're at right now. We in Hoopston have a mission field. If you haven't talked to my wife, she went to get ice this week at the grocery store, and two men, she may have said it in Sunday school, two men were about to come to blows and cussing each other out in the IGA parking lot. Of course, with no shirts on, and just, you know, it was right in the middle of the parking lot. And so if you don't think we have a mission field here in Hoopston, go walk outside the church building. And that ought to hurt you and break your heart. There's, you know, I'm like, I guess there's kids in the van, and here's, whether it's dad, uncle, they're cussing each other, they're getting ready to fight, middle of the parking lot, middle of the day, middle of the week. Sad. It's so sad. But don't get an attitude of those people, look at them. That's our mission field. They are who Jesus died for. And in this life, we're in the meantime of having to see this around us. And so it's tough. But God understands, and we have a job to do. We've talked about over the last couple of weeks, you can go through a painful season or you can grow through a painful season. That's really up to you. We talked about enduring to maturity. And couple prayers. I'll give you a prayer before we leave today. But 3 weeks ago, we talked about you praying, God, help me to see what I'm going through in light of eternity. And that's huge, guys, because, again, this world is not our home. This life is short. The Bible says it's a vapor here and then gone. We will not, and things will not be right until we are with the Lord. To live is Christ and to die is gain. So don't be putting all your stock in this life. Last week, what did we talk about? You cannot look at the cross and think that God doesn't care. There's no way that God doesn't care, because look at the cross. Look what Jesus did. Look what He did for you. So don't think for a second that God doesn't care. God took the worst event in the history of the world, Jesus, God Himself, perfect, sinless, came in love to reveal God's truth and plan. And look what He went through. Worst thing that's ever happened, but God turned it into the best thing that's ever happened. We were redeemed, saved. He took your sin and shame and death all upon His shoulders because He loves you. And that's what God does. He takes bad situations and makes them good when we let Him. So today is our fifth and final week of our In the Meantime series. Today is titled The Comfort Zone. Now, we hear this sometimes and we think, I know as Christians, don't get too comfortable. But we're going to talk about it in a different way. The comfort zone, meaning that God has you here to be a comfort and a servant to other people. You guys know as pastor, I oftentimes get called into people's In the Meantime moments. Some of you, we've went through some things together. It's been a long week for me of a lot of people going through things and hospital and nursing home visits and things like that. And just to these In the Meantime moments, and oftentimes I walk into tough situations. And can I tell you something this morning? It's just as tough for me as you think it would be for you. When I'm walking into situations, sometimes it's bad. It's an accident. Or it's someone who has passed on and didn't know the Lord. Or maybe hospice has been called in and this person wasn't a Christian and the family wants me to come in. Or if they've passed, would you pray for them? Pray that they get to go to heaven. And you're sitting here thinking, I don't have any effect on that. And it's just heartbreaking when someone has passed and didn't know the Lord. Or maybe it's, again, an accident. It's a really tough situation. Sometimes it's marital things or it's family issues. I get called into these meantime moments, and it's hard for me, okay? And one thing I'll ask you, if it's a domestic dispute, don't call me into it. When you guys are done fighting, then call me, okay? That's the worst. He, she, I'm like, whoa, wow. I'll come back tomorrow. But it's tough to walk into those situations. It's hard for me. I have to rely completely on God's grace. If you've been around me a little bit, I'm not a genius. I mean, I'm human. I'm just trying to live my life for Christ. And now sometimes though, I get to go in and it's great. Someone gives their life to the Lord before it's too late, or we get to have prayer or get to comfort someone and sit with them or have a meal with them or whatever it might be. But let me share with you that one of the reasons that God has given maybe me some small ability and you as well to minister to people and to be a comfort to them and to invest in their lives and show them that I care and you can show them that you care is because we've been through things, haven't we? I've been through a lot of life. Most of it my fault. Some of it just happened. But by the grace of God, I said, I'm going to choose Jesus. I'm going to choose grace, not bitterness. And then God can take those experiences and circumstances and the hurts and the mean times that I've been through and say, I want to, and I can sympathize with people and just love on them and care for them and try to help and be a part in any way. And guys, just because I'm pastor doesn't mean that's just my job. That's your job too. And that's the comfort zone. It's your job as a believer to take what you've been through and leverage that to love people, to invest in their lives, to comfort, to care. But too often as Christians, it's like the story of the Good Samaritan. We just keep riding by when God has called us to stop, get down, reach down, and love and invest in people. And that's the comfort zone, that God has called you to be a comforter. God has called you to love people and to be involved in their lives. And there's power when someone who's been there goes there. And I would bet that each and anyone in here never been through in the meantime. Life's been smooth sailing the whole time. Any liars? Raise your hand. Because that's not how it works. That's just not life. But there's a reason that God has pulled you. And for some of you, it's you've had these major events, but it's human nature as God has healed, answered prayer, as things have happened, we forget so easily. And sometimes it's good to reflect on those times so that we can be a comfort to others. Now, this also equates to you being saved. Let me tell you something. Remember, again, the Good Samaritan, you were once by the side of the road. You have been forgiven and shown mercy and grace and love, and you've been shown this at a great cost. So we better be showing people mercy and grace and love and forgiveness and kindness, even at great cost to our lives and to our comfort. It's our job to be comforters. It is our job to be ambassadors for Christ because people all around you, some in church, out in the world, they're in the meantime. They need comfort. They need love. They need to know that we care. And let me tell you, this world has got enough on us where they think that us Christians, we're just this and we dress up and come to church. Get out in your daily life and show people you care. Not going to always be comfortable. You're going to get rejected. But so did Jesus, and he kept going. So today we talk comfort to wrap up our In the Meantime. And if you have your Bible's devices, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 7. And we want to get our money's worth out of Dan, so I'm going to let him do our scripture reading for this morning.
All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this morning, Lord, and as we, Heavenly Father, dive into your word, I pray you would anoint my lips, Lord, and may the word fall on fertile soil, which is the heart of each and every one in here, Lord. I pray that's all that is said and done, that you are glorified, Lord, and we, Heavenly Father, respond, and Lord, we hear your word, and it impacts our lives for eternity, for your kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in verse 1-3, God is referred to as the Father of all compassion. He's referred to as the God of all comfort. So you heard the word comfort many times. I want to focus on that this morning, that God is the God of all comfort. And it's where it began. Comfort and love and mercy and grace and compassion and all these things begin with God. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, it is your job to be a comfort to others. Your comfort, your grace, your joy, all these things come from God. He's the source. Stop looking to other people to be that. Stop looking for me to be that. Stop worrying about me and if I have the time to invest in your life or if I'm this or I'm that. Your source is the Lord, and he wants you to turn that around and invest in other people. And if you've been walking for the Lord with more than a day or two, it's not about you anymore. It's about others. Stop making it about you. That's the one thing that we as Christians struggle with, and we've got to stop doing. The word in Greek is paraklesos, or something I probably pronounced wrong, but I say that to say this. The word for comfort, the word for God being the source of all comfort, is the same word that in John chapters 14 through 16, Jesus refers in using the Holy, in referring to the Holy Spirit. Same thing. The literal meaning is one who comes alongside, the comforter, an advocate. Here it's used to convey empowering empathy. That's what we receive from God when we have given our hearts and lives to Jesus, and if you haven't, what you can. The question for you this morning is, where are you going for your comfort? Where are you going for your strength, for your joy, for your meaning, for your purpose? Because if you're going anywhere other than to the Lord, you're off base. And see, we do that so often. Now, I am blessed, most if not all my family are believers, and so if I call up grandma or mom or dad, or you know, they're always going to talk about the Lord, they're going to pray with me and whatever, and so it's okay that I go to them. That's under the context of going to the Lord, but for some of you this morning, you might be going places for your comfort that you shouldn't be. Sometimes it can be something that's sinful. It can even be good. If you are so invested in your job, your identity is your career, or it's your spouse, or your kids, or whatever, the Bible says you shall have no other gods before me. Nothing but your Lord Jesus Christ should be your source of comfort, should be your identity, should be what your life is about, because he's the source, this text says right here. He's the one who wants to come alongside you. Where are you going? In 1 Samuel 30, do you remember when David, he got back from battle and the camp had been raided and all the women were gone and everything was gone and his own men wanted to kill him? David didn't do or go anywhere else. The Bible says he found his strength in the Lord. If you went home today and your house was burned down and your family was gone and you'd lost your job, and I could go on all day long, the only way you're going to find strength through things like that and through this life on a daily basis is going to the Lord for your strength. And if we're going other places, we're not going to be satisfied. If we're looking to other people or other things, our strength should be found in the Lord, for he is the source of all of our comfort. And you've got to be honest with yourself today about where your source of comfort comes from. Because if it's not from the Lord, let me tell you this, then you're not going to be fruitful in reaching others. You're not going to be fruitful in loving others. If you forget the grace you've been shown when Jesus saved your life and your soul, you're not going to be graceful to others. If you forget that you were once lost, you're not going to be fruitful in reaching the lost. And these are important, very much life and death matters. Verse 4. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. And we have to be careful because if we're turning to other places than to the Lord, we again are not going to be able to be fruitful and be used. If we're getting our comfort somewhere else other than from the source, then we won't be able to comfort others. And this verse 4 here is a purpose statement. It's saying you are blessed, you are saved, you are alive, you know Jesus so that you can invest and love and serve and comfort and give to others. You're saved to be part of saving others. Jesus saved you so that you can give your life to His cause, that you can go into all the world and take the gospel. You're blessed so that you can bless others. You as a believer should be seeking out others to comfort them and to invest in them and to love on them. And I will say this about comfort and what we would normally talk about. Sometimes comfort prohibits comfort. If our lives are inwardly focused and we're just so worried about ourselves and our things, then we're not going to be used to comfort others. But as a believer, you no longer live, right? Your life has been given to Christ who gave Himself for you. And so you should be looking for opportunities to comfort others. You've been comforted so that you can comfort others. You've been blessed so you can bless others. You've been saved so you can be a part of seeing others saved. You've been loved so you can love others. You've been invested in so you can invest in others. Let's stop making it about us. Verse 5. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. First thing when you read that, I don't want to suffer. Who wants to suffer? But the things we go through in life are so that we can then again leverage them to loving on others, to investing in others, to caring for others. We talked about, I believe it was last week or maybe a couple weeks ago, in all the religions in the world, there's only one: we're God. We're the subject. We're the purpose. We're the point, which is in our case, Jesus was the object of suffering. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our example, He suffered. He did this for you. He went through what He went through so that you can be comforted, so you can understand you have a Lord who understands. If you're here this morning and you've been abandoned, think about this. Jesus was abandoned. On the cross, He was sent to earth, and then on the cross, God abandoned Him. He forsook Him. He did that for you. Have you ever lost someone? God lost Jesus for you, sent Him to earth, turned His back on Him on the cross as He took all the sin and guilt and shame and death of you and everyone who's ever lived on Himself. I mean, that's just amazing. Have you ever been betrayed? Oh, well, you don't understand how they treat me or what they did. Does Jesus understand that? Was He betrayed? Did Judas betray Him? Did the religious leaders betray Him? Did the world reject Him? Did you reject Him at one point in your life? And guess what? If you're a Christian this morning, the last time you sinned, you said something you shouldn't, you thought something you shouldn't, you did something you shouldn't, you were disobedient, you rejected Him. Jesus understands. He was betrayed. He was rejected. He was made fun of. He was done wrong. All the things that we go through, Jesus understands. And our capacity to comfort others is largely determined by what we've been through. And when it comes to the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with comfort. If you're not giving of yourself, if you're not reaching down and reaching out, if you're not forgiving and loving and serving and giving, you're missing out. And so are others. We can't have a town as lost as Hoopston missing out because we don't share in the sufferings of Christ. We don't get out of our comfort zone so that we can comfort. We don't give grace. The Bible talks about he who is forgiven little loves little. Every one of you here today that's given your life to Christ, you have been forgiven of and are forgiven of a lot. And put me at the top of the list. And so I better be comforting others. I better be loving others. I better be forgiving others and understanding. The purpose of what you have went through in life is to enable you to show Christ's love to others. And we had a great marriage retreat yesterday. We had about 14 couples or 15, whatever it was, I don't know. And one of the things Carla and I shared was, if you guys don't know this, the first many years of our marriage were rough, mostly my fault. But we at times will talk about those times. You know, the Bible says, and here's what you need to do when it comes, because it's so easy if God has delivered or answered your prayers, and especially if life's good right now, it's so easy to forget the bad times and what God has brought you through. And if you were saved at a young age and you're living a great Christian life, it's pretty easy to forget the grace you've been given and still need. We start to think that we're something when really we're nothing, are we? So what we like to do in our marriage is at times we will just bring up the past on purpose. Not in like a so we can fight about it, but so we can remember what miracles God has done. You need to do that when it comes to your life. You need to do that when it comes to you being forgiven. You need to think of the grace God has been given. And you guys know what? So much of God's grace we never even realize. What He saved us from, what He spared us from, what bad hasn't happened. Those are things we need to think about as Christians so that we will be empathetic and show Christ's love to others. Verse 6. For when we are weighed down with troubles, and some of you this morning, this is where you're at. You're weighed down with troubles. It's for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. And Paul was writing this. Here's a man who was persecuted and imprisoned and eventually killed for Jesus. And you're thinking, that's not a happy ending, is it not? Is Paul in paradise today? Does Paul have eternal life? Are many of you and me saved because Paul persevered and was faithful and endured and therefore wrote so much of the New Testament, and his testimony and his life 2,000 years later is having an impact with millions if not billions of Christians all over the world today as we speak? And I say that to say this, are you persevering and staying faithful? 2,000 years from now, if the Lord hasn't returned, what difference will your life have made? Or are you living today just for you? It's about me. We're supposed to persevere. We're supposed to use our lives for others. And how we live our lives matters very, very much. Are you persevering? We talked a couple times through this series about how God has these great plans for so many of your lives and situations and marriages and families and to use you to help reach the lost and to use you to love and serve and give your life and your resources and your gifts away to others. But so oftentimes we miss that. And people go into eternity unsaved because, listen to this seriously, you and I so often don't stay faithful. We don't endure. We don't persevere. We don't sacrifice and get out of our comfort zones to comfort others. And God's looking down saying, if you'll just stay faithful, this meantime that you're in, I want to move you into something beautiful. But so often, instead of continuing on towards the Lord, we turn away, we turn around, we choose sin, we get offended, we start skipping church, we start having a bad attitude, we start thinking and playing the pity party game. We do all these things. The Lord understands. He loves you. He knows it's hard, but He commands us, stay faithful, endure, trust in me with all your heart, forget your own understanding. I am God. He says, my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are different than yours. And He says, trust me. Amen? Amen. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do when we're weighed down, when life is life, when people let us down, when we don't understand it. Even when we're weighed down with troubles, it's for comfort and salvation. It's for God's good if we will patiently just endure. If we will patiently just endure. Verse 7. For we are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort that God gives us. Sharing in sufferings. Let me speak to this. Guys, to be honest, sometimes we don't share in sufferings because we're so disconnected. Let me get to church. Amen. CD plays. Lunchtime. And that's okay. But you need to be involved in each other's lives in a healthy way. We need to be connected. We need to do a better job of that. I agree. I love when we have a marriage retreat and so many show up and the women's Bible study, the sign-up sheets overflowing. And when we choose to be connected, when we come to something other than just Sunday morning, when we choose to get involved in each other's lives, maybe get up today before you leave and look at someone and you're like, hey, you guys want to get lunch together? I got something cooking. Come over. Let's go out to eat. Connect with each other. We are to be sharing, the Bible says, bearing one another's burdens. And even more so, to take that a step further, is when you go and you're living your lives, most of the people you're around don't know Jesus. Most of them need to hear your story. They need to see your life. They need to see that you care in a special way. And I look at this verse. We're confident that as you share in our sufferings, you'll also share in the comfort God gives us. You know, that's just like that verse in Peter that we've read. My guess is that Paul and Peter were texting each other as they were writing their apostles. Probably more likely that all of God's word is inspired by Him and His Holy Spirit, and He knew what we needed to hear. That's probably more likely than they had androids. You know, later in this book, Paul writes, he writes that all these things happen, all the stuff in life happens, everything you've been through or going through or will go through happen so that you will learn to rely completely upon God. It's in there. Keep reading. Your life this morning, does it rely completely upon God? Kinda? Maybe? When bad things happen? You need to live lives that rely completely upon God, because without that complete surrender and reliance upon Him, we don't get to see Him work. We don't mature. We don't grow. We don't have greater faith without trusting Him enough to be obedient and rely completely upon Him. So guys, as we close this series, I hope it's been a blessing. And if you've missed several weeks, again, go to the website and listen to it about how we can overcome the troubles of this life, about stop focusing so much on the good, the bad, the in the meantime of this life, and focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He should be the focus of your life. You should be investing in others and serving. That's the key to happiness and contentment, is losing your life. That's the only way to save it. And so in just one moment, we're going to sing. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing a psalm, the 51st psalm. And I hope this will be your prayer as we sing this morning. And I want you to pray as we sing. You can pray at your seat. You're welcome to come. A scary prayer, but a beautiful prayer. It's a prayer that God will use you in the lives of others. That God will use you to reach others, to comfort others, to invest in others, to serve others. That God will use you to be a comforter, to get out of your comfort zone so that you can comfort. That God will use the experiences you've been through, and pray that God, say, God, leverage my life for the glory of your kingdom and for something that matters for all of eternity. In Psalm 51, what we're getting ready to sing, David writes, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me." If you want to pray anything this morning or this week, Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach sinners your ways and sinners will return to you." That should be your heart cry as a follower of Jesus. God, use me to comfort others. Use me to reach others. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come to you this morning. And Lord God, this life is a vapor, here and then gone. And so, Lord God, I pray we would have a right perspective. Some here this morning may not have much time left. You could return at any moment, Heavenly Father. Some this morning are dealing with illnesses. They're dealing with loss, whatever it is. My God, I pray you would speak to their heart, that their hearts would soften. You are always running towards them, Lord. You are always running towards us with open arms. Seek me, surrender to me. Read my word. Pray to me. Come to me, you say, Lord Jesus. And this morning, I pray that would be, Lord, our heart's cry of each and every one here, Lord, to have perspective of, Lord, eternity and just the brevity of this life and the futility of this life if not given to you and lived for you, that it's all going to be gone anytime. But, Lord, in you we have eternal life. We have joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And that, Lord God, eye has not seen nor ear heard what you have in store for those of us who love you and have said yes to Jesus. And Lord, here this morning, I pray that would be the heart's cry of your people as we sing and as people pray at their seat, at the altar, whatever, that Lord God, you would, Heavenly Father, you would use us to comfort others. You would use us to love and to reach others. And the experiences we have would be leveraged to make a difference in the lives, especially of those who don't know you, those that are hurting, those, Lord God, that are in the meantime of life, because they're all around us if we will just open our eyes, Lord. So I pray you'd work on our hearts this morning as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen.